Now that's what I call RDU, a New Zealand Music Month special, a 21-episode live podcast series that'll feature discussions from an array of key players across the local music scene, including Ototahi's musical trailblazers, RDU present and past hosts, plus members from RDU's 45-year-old established community. Proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now that's what I call RDU. 1990 to 1999.
You heard that right. This is The Morning After with Ben and Josh, RDU 98.5. And Music Month continues with our final segment of 90s week. This week, this morning, we are talking to Tali. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
So good. Great to have you back on the show. How are you feeling this fine Friday morning?
Very, very sleepy, but I'm not really a morning person, as you know, given my job. But I'm here for you. I'm here for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've got some news. Despite the fact that this is my job, I'm also still not really a morning person. So, you know, we're working through this together.
So we're here chatting about the 90s, of course. So for anyone out there who doesn't know who you are and doesn't know what you were up to perhaps in the 90s.
Which is no one, but you know.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, so I guess I kind of began my career in Christchurch. I moved down there in the mid-90s. And I went to NASDA, the National Academy of Singing and Dramatic Arts down there. Mm-hmm. And while I was down there, I discovered raving, I discovered drum and bass particularly, and I decided that I wanted to be New Zealand's, I guess, best drum and bass MC, and then I decided I wanted to conquer the world.
Nice.
So I became known, I guess, for having come from Christchurch, but I'm not actually from Christchurch. It's just where I sort of grew up, I guess, and began my career. I was here for 5 amazing years, and I really owe the local Christchurch music scene everything, really, in terms of me becoming MC Tali.
Mm. And what was it about the Christchurch music scene when you came down here that got you so excited about, joining this music environment?
Yes, it was because I hadn't really been exposed to rave music. Before that, I was living in Wellington and going to university in Wellington, and a lot of my friends in Wellington were sort of like, yeah, let's just go to the top 20 bar down the road and drink beers and, you know, and hope boys look at us and, you know, dance in clubs. And it just, and, you know, club music then was, very commission.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just sort of, I didn't feel like I fitted in, and I used to sneak off and go to some, like, weird, like, I don't know, like, some weird, like, jazz, hip-hop, emo bar on Cuba Street by myself. So when I got to Christchurch, I discovered rave music, and it was, I guess it was kind of finding my place in the world, because rave music is very inclusive and, you know, diverse. And I remember the first time I walked into a club where it was like all genres was playing, and looking around me and thinking, wow, anyone's welcome here.
Mm.
And the vibe is positive, and it just kind of went with this whole new life that I was starting for myself in Christchurch. I didn't know anyone down apart from a second cousin.
Mm.
So it was a new life, a new scene, and a chance to discover a new sort of tribe, I guess, of friends.
Mm. Gosh, that's so special to hear. And speaking of first, let's get to your first track, Do It For The Love, Salmonella Dub. Do you want to tell us why you picked this track first?
So down when I was down in Christchurch, obviously I said I discovered raving, but obviously it was festivals that were kind of kicking off down in Christchurch, but they were not festivals as we know them today. They were non-commercial, they were very underground, often they were secret, and you had to really find them. There were things like The Quickening, and we had Destination, which was out at Castle Hill. We had parties out at White Cliffs. And, of course, Gathering, which you guys might have heard of, which was our big New Year's Eve festival at Takaka up in Golden Downs, in Cannon Downs, sorry, in Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And around that time, this song came out. Everyone was sort of going to the Gathering. It was the place to be. And this song reminds me of getting in the car, you know, taking that road trip. This music was playing, like, yeah, it's a really long drive, but we do it for the love of it. You know, we're going raving up the hill in the middle of nowhere. And Salmonella Dub was really just taking off at this time. And Tiki and I had just met and had become really good friends. So, yeah, it reminds me of that time, that excitement of what was happening in the Christchurch scene and just in the South Island scene in general.
Awesome. That's so cool. Well, let's give it a listen.
Simplification of skank game. Freestyling ourselves with Ouija. Stripping it back to the roots. Vision. Nothing else takes me like you do. We move to the music. The pushing and pulling of skank. Feeling the drum and bass. That's why we do what we do. Unite the people, we are the land. Relight the fires, we burn again. Stripping it back to the roots. Vision. Nothing else takes me like you do. We move to the music. The pushing and pulling of skank. A feeling, a drum and bass. That's why we do what we do. Virgil, we do for the love of it. 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 Simplification of skank, man. Freestyling ourselves with Ouija. Relight the fire, we burn again. Stripping it back to the roots. Vision. Nothing else takes me like you do. We move to the music. The pushing and pulling of skank. A feeling, a drum and bass. That's why we do what we do.
That was For the Love of It by Salmonella Dub. A fantastic 90s track. And you guys couldn't see it, but we got the music video and it was so cool. It just looked like such a fun time. It was great. So we are here with Tali. You still there? Still with us after that wonderful track?
I am. Fantastic. I've just got messages coming through from Christchurch friends. I can hear you on the radio.
Hey! Oh. How cool. Well, shout out all your Christchurch friends for listening.
Gosh.
There's a lot of them.
Oh, that's what we love to hear. So what I guess we want to, I guess, dig in deeper about what it was about Christchurch that got you involved. What were some of the big places at the time? We've heard earlier in the week that a lot of the, a lot of the drum and bass stuff was quite underground, going to warehouses and stuff like that for raves. Was that your experience as well? And what were some of those places that you were first visiting when you came down?
Well, they were all over, really. At first, it was mainly sort of like all genre raves, because that's where I first discovered drum and bass. And I guess the majority of ones that I went to were at the ministry. Mm-hmm. And the ministry was quite literally the ministry, the church, where we would all go and praise electronic music. And it was sort of like you'd go and would be like house at the start of the night, and then trance was always kind of like the main thing back then. That was the real big music, and that would happen like kind of at the in the main slot. And mm-hmm. then towards the end, you might have some drum and bass or techno DJs playing. Or sometimes there were two rooms. There was another little room at the front, and sometimes they would have hip-hop playing in there.
Cool.
Or they would have techno playing in there. So it was really like unified and all genres together, and you know, you kind of just came at the times of night that you wanted to hear what you wanted to hear, so you could duck in and out. So the ministry was really important, but there was also other clubs such as Bass on Colombo Street, which was upstairs.
Mm.
And Bass was really special because it used to have PlayStation.
Cool.
So you could go up and you could stand there and just play games on PlayStation and drink beers if you wanted to do that. The dance floor was kind of weird. It was like down the stairs as you walked in, but then you walked up the stairs to the DJ booth and the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It was run by two twins. One of them I saw at a wedding a couple of weekends ago, and we were reminiscing about Christchurch in the 90s.
How good.
Sam and Simon, I think their names were. They were so lovely. And then we had Heaven, which was run by Jeff Wright, Aragorn Urquhart. And Heaven was upstairs, and that was like, again, it catered to the all genres. On a Thursday night, you would go up there, and it would be house music. On a Friday night, it was drum and bass called Amen. The night was called Amen. Ascend to Heaven and come to Amen. That's what the kids' title was. And then Saturday nights was trance. And I think the night was actually called Ascend. So, yeah, really good little spots like that. But then the raves, you know, like, as I said, we'd have them at, like, Castle Hill, White Cliffs. There was a warehouse that I went to, which was down in, like, Beckenham, but I don't remember the name of it. And then there were little spots as well, little bars that we had that would do just, like, weekly nights. You could get your fix of dancing at any night of the week in Christchurch.
That's awesome. Sounds like a fun time.
Right. Speaking of Amen, let's get to your second track, which you say has a steely Amen break in it. It's Boomerang Soul Beat Runner, which I already can hear playing in my head. Do you want to tell us why you picked this track?
So when we first started getting into drum and bass, it was also when drum and bass was first really blossoming in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were quite lucky in New Zealand because we were getting tapes sent over from the UK.
Mm.
And of the One in the Jungle show, which was on the BBC Radio 1. So we would get these tapes sent over, and we were hearing what they were hearing literally just a couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
And, you know, drum and bass wasn't fully formed. It was breakbeat that, you know, like, breakbeat was the genre that was kind of, like, big, and then drum and bass kind of spawned off of that. So the early drum and bass that we were still listening to was still very, like, aiming break-based. It didn't have a lot of melody.
Mm-hmm.
So Boomerang was one of, he's really underrated, Boomerang. A lot of people remember his stuff, but they don't remember him.
Mm.
And I remember listening to this driving from Sumner over
nice.
The Port Hills back down through Kashmir,
mm-hmm.
and listening to this and being like, it nearly took the whole journey. It's such a long thing. But this being like, wow, this is the Amen break in full flight, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite an intense tune, but this was really before the melodics and harmonies we hear now kind of were coming through.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to another piece of 90s musical history. This is Boomerang with Soul Beat Runner.
Cool. We'll be right back.
What a track. I just turned the studio speakers like all the way up for that one. I was like, I need to hear this whole thing. It was so good. Thank you very much.
Great.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, I loved it.
So good. I can definitely imagine just a group of 90s ravers just jamming out to that song. It's so good.
Yes. We are back with Tali, of course. And how did the 90s environment, I suppose, in Christchurch change throughout the 90s? We talk about the 90s in general, but I'd love to talk about the trends and the things you saw shift, I guess, over time.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I can really only speak from kind of my bubble, my little drum and bass world, because, you know, we were so caught up in our own culture. But it was interesting seeing, I guess, rave culture kind of start to permeate Christchurch streets in terms of, like, the fashion and the trends. I think as you saw rave culture kind of bloom and develop, you know, there's always been people like what's the word, who kind of are divergent from, I guess, what normal society is. You know, you've got hippies and stuff from the 60s and 70s, you know, you've got punks and goths in the 80s and 90s and 80s and 90s, and then mid-90s it was like ravers, we took over. Like, you couldn't walk down the Christchurch street without seeing a whole bunch of ravers, like, standing out on the street playing hacky sack. we had this little area we called the Grassy Knoll, which was in High Street, and it was a little sort of gathering place, I guess, at the end of High Street. And it was outside of Glassons, back when Glassons was where it was, and everyone would sort of gather, and we would sit there and smoke weed and play hacky sack and play drum and bass or play house music really loud.
Nice.
Like the local annoying yobs. But peace, love, and unity, for sure, you know. For the fashion, you know, people were, it was like, sneakers, and just Nikes, as much as you could get. And it was interesting watching the fashion itself become really streamlined. You know, like hoodies and puffers all day long in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And puffer vests and snapback caps. You know, I've got a song called Birth of a Break where I write an entire sort of verse about tight high ponies, snapbacks, rocking a puffer against the wind, you know, like that kind of thing. And also it was interesting watching how our fashion was influenced by outside culture. We obviously had a massive influx of Japanese people to Christchurch back in the 90s. And they were setting up, first of all, it was great because we were getting lots of sushi shops, but also the fashion from Japan that was coming through was so awesome, like very, very streamlined lines of clothing, and we all adopted it. Me being little, I could fit all that Japanese stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then what happened was the mainstream shops started to copy, take over. We have a fashion brand in Christchurch by a woman named Claire, she now like jewelry, which is like huge worldwide across New Zealand and the world. Back then, she made street fashion, which became rave fashion. And then shops like Glassons and Hellensteins actually started to rip her off. I don't know who was designing for them, but
Damn. They
were copying her clothes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Whew, that's rough.
For anyone out there that misheard, because there was a little bit
of a slight
glitch, it was street fashion being stolen by the mainstream, which doesn't surprise me, but still awful to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
Gosh.
Sorry, you go. You finish.
Oh, we could talk and listen to you all day. Yeah.
That was it.
Go. I was gonna ask, how did people find out about gigs back then? I mean, now, you know, I get 17 Facebook invites a day, mostly from my boss telling me to go to all these things. So, like, how did you guys find out about things without, you know, social medias and stuff? Was it all just word of mouth, or was this cool
Flyering,
post?
Flyering, man.
Nice.
Flyering.
Nice.
Flyering was one. So you would go to a gig, and it was the same in the UK when I went there, even more so. But here, you would go to a gig, you would come outside the gig, and people would give you flyers.
Nice.
And there'd be flyers on the table in the club, and there'd be posters in the toilet, you know. So postering and flyering was really the way to do it, and word of mouth. So, you could go to your local coffee shop, which for us is Java. Java was on the corner. Anyone who remembers Java, it was such a dope little place, and it was where a lot of us would gather, and you would go in there and there'd be flowers all over the table and people would be literally sitting there going, "Hey, going to Destination on Saturday night?" And you'd be like, "Oh, yeah, can I get a ride with you?" And you'd be like, "Oh, yeah, I've got space." You know, and like, just stuff like that, just word of mouth purely.
Cool.
And flyers and posters.
That's so awesome. And I guess it was a very kind of communal, you know, situation. If everyone's kind of, you know, you go to one gig, it's like an ecosystem. You go to one, you get flyers for the next, and then you just keep going and going.
It was also really like, you know, very community orientated. Mm. So if you couldn't get a ticket, like I remember I couldn't get a ticket to Dom and Roland because I couldn't afford it. And like three of my friends put in so that I could get the ticket because it was one of the, not Dom and Roland, sorry, Ed Rush and Optical. It was one of the more expensive gigs we had because there was two of them.
Yeah.
And I remember my friends being like, "But Carly, it's Ed Rush and Optical." And I went, "I know, but I can't afford it." And they're like, "But you can't miss this gig." You know, and so they bought me a ticket. And then another time, you know, like someone didn't have a ride. And so we like all banded together to get someone's mum to take this person to this rave at a certain time so that they could go. You know, the community spirit back then about around having to support our local promoters and going, it was so ingrained in us. You know, we wouldn't dare skip out on a gig like you do nowadays. But nowadays we're so spoiled with choice.
Yeah.
It's the difference.
It's true. So many things.
We'll get to your third track now, which is Cut Slow Locust Remix. Why'd you pick this track for us?
Because I wanted to wake some people up.
Hell yeah.
This tune, oh my God, this tune cracks me up because when this track came out, we literally did not think the bass line could get any bigger. I remember we were in ministry, and when it got played, like the speakers in that club tore through your heart and pretty much gave you a heart attack on the dance floor. I remember there was all the steel inside ministry. It was all like steel tables and railings. It's like rattling, you know, like right out into the street.
Yeah.
And beer bottles bouncing off the table and smashing on the floor.
Oh my God.
We just didn't think the bass could get any bigger. And you know, every year the bass seemed to get bigger. There seemed to be another track that would come out. We'd be like, "Oh, that Dillinger track, All Aboard, you know, the bass never will get this." And then the next track would come out. I mean, there were so many tunes I could have picked for this time, but this reminds me of standing in the queue for, well, standing in the queue, I never stood in the queue, but people standing in the queue for ministry, and everyone being like, "I need to get inside before they play the Locust Remix. I've got to get inside before Locust Remix." I remember being in the toilet and hearing the intro for the song and like tearing out of there so fast, barging my way onto the dance floor because you got to be on the dance floor when the shit drops.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to, you know, take all the beer bottles off this table, turn the speakers up, and enjoy this one. Well, if I wasn't awake before, I certainly am now, as I'm sure is all of Otatahi Christchurch. What a tune you have bought for us this morning.
I'm sorry, I seem to have picked some very Amen heavy tracks for you.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. It's great. Me and Ben have just been turning the speakers up, having a blast in here. It's been great.
I've got more messages coming through, people saying, like, such an iconic tune reminds me so much of club days in Christchurch. And someone else saying, I remember this tune reverberating in my ears for a week after.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. Damn. We've got some texts in saying Tali is such a gem, great flashbacks to the 90s. And someone else who said they still have their flyers from the parties back in the day, some from Destination the Gathering, happy memories, they said. So yeah, clearly it's touching, you know, a lot of people remember these things as fondly, which is great.
You have to understand, like, back then Christchurch was the seminal place, that was the mecca. You know, like, a lot of people think that it's Auckland, and yes, Auckland may sort of have taken over a little bit nowadays in terms of the amount of commercial availability.
Yeah.
But a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, we lost so many of our iconic buildings in the earthquake, and it was only because of that Christchurch has suffered, and that's not the city's choice. That's not our culture's choice. So, you know, I love to think of myself as an honorary Otatahi girl, because I'm so proud of how Christchurch was the place that people want to go and rave. Internationals were desperate to visit and come and play ministry, you know, and that essence hasn't gone. That heart and soul is still there in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And it's just about more people finding ways to access that wairua, that spirit of Christchurch and the rave culture, and making what they can of it, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's great people down there doing that, you know, with like places, you know, you've got places like Hyde, you've got places like Flux, you know, and like, I heard the Duck might be coming back. Duck's Life might come.
Oh, yeah, I think I,
Yes, I've heard reverberations.
I've heard rumors, you know, reverberations, you know, steel tables jittering in the wind. So I wanted to ask, what were like the crowds like at these things? I mean, we've talked, you know, a little bit about it, people needing to get inside to hear that song, you know, rushing from bathrooms, bottle tables, you know, bouncing off of tables. But was it like a very mix of lots of different kind of subcultures that would go to these type of things, or, you know, was it like the ravers went to the raver gigs?
I mean, I definitely think it permeated over into other areas. I mean, again, Christchurch was such a music city, and is still such a music city. There's a lot of talent down there, and, you know, I remember going to, you know, Salmonella Dark gigs. I remember Shapeshifter had just sort of formed, and there were murmurings of, this was before Diggy, they said they didn't have a vocalist back then, and, you know, it was just like Dreadford, Sambora, Devon, and Nick, and they were like fiddling around with some keyboards and making some sounds down in James Meharry's bunker, you know. RDU was hugely instrumental in getting music to different people, so I guess you'd have like rockers and hip hop heads down there that would hear music, rave music, and be like, "Well, let's go check this out." You know, we were really good friends with a lot of the people in the hip hop crew, like being DJ Kaboom and DJ Ali, Richie Broke, and like, they would come to our shows to check it out and to support us, and we would go to theirs. Just like we would go to house nights, you know, us girls would have our sneakers on one night, and the next night we'd put our little kitten heels on, and we'd drop down to a little house night so we could support our friends who were playing theirs. So it was definitely about diversity. It was definitely about inclusion. Anyone was welcome. And it was about not just supporting your genre, but supporting Christchurch music as a whole.
Yeah, gosh.
And I think that's what people who live there now, young people who live there now, really need to focus on and try and remember is the essence of your city. That's what's going to make Christchurch great again. You know, it's on its way up again, and that's what is truly going to set it above everyone else, supporting each other, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's such a poignant finish, not only to us talking to you today, but also just our 90s week.
Definitely.
I would say last week I said that our 80s theme was fierce, unapologetic. That was the underlying message. But I feel like for 90s week, it's all been about community, inclusion, diversity.
For sure.
And so thank you for hammering that message home. We'll play final...
You guys, that's so cool. You just gave me goosebumps saying that. I love that.
Sorry. Oh, goodness. Thank you.
We'll play you out with our final track now. Super Sharp Shooter, Gunja Crew, Zinc Remix. Why'd you pick this track for us?
Well, I guess because once you get into something so deeply, as me and my friends were into drum and bass, you want to know about the roots, the foundation, what came before. And it's interesting is that we got drum and bass in Christchurch before we got jungle.
Yeah.
It was only once we got drum and bass and we were like, where did this music come from? That we sort of started to do our research, and then you realize that the roots and foundation were based in jungle music. So also a lot of jungle music started to reach our ears. And Super Sharp Shooter is iconic just because I had visions of me and my girlfriends pulling her fingers on the dance floor and, you know, doing the S, the U, the P, the E, the R to each other. And it's an earworm that gets in your head, you know.
Yeah.
I really want to shout out to the scientific crew. I want to shout out to all the promoters down in Christchurch who are doing amazing things to make your scene so special. I'm going to be in Christchurch next Saturday night.
Down
at Hyde. Come down and check me out. I'm emceeing with Halogenics. Get a little plug in there.
Of course.
And thank you, RDU, so much for having me. This is a step back in time, Super Sharp Shooter with the Gunja Crew, DJ Zinc Remix.
Woo! Let's just play.
E, the R, the super chug, shoot the check. I'm the fucking man who the match blazing the stuff that ain't check, 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 check. I'm the fucking man who the match blazing the stuff that ain't nice to be lazy.
Been listening to Now That's What I Call RDU, a retrospective series that dives deep into the stories, the people and the music that shaped RDU 98.5 FM, proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now That's What I Call RDU.